Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by SeatGeek. The NBA and NHL season are in full swing, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your favorite team's games. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. That means you don't have to worry when you go on SeatGeek and you're looking for tickets. SeatGeek also saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. They have a seat map. They have it color coordinated. For all you dummies out there like myself who can't figure out where I want to sit, SeatGeek helps you out. And here's what we have for you. You go download the SeatGeek app. It is free. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter promo code TAKE, that's T-A-K-E, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Again, that's you download the SeatGeek app. It's free. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Today's episode is also brought to you by Hanes. Guys, we need to take a quick break to talk about something very important. Smelfies. You know those quick self-sniffs of your pit that you think no one else sees you doing. They have to stop. We've all been guilty of it. I know I do it all the time. But there's hope for all of us to end the smelfy thanks to Hanes with Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology. Hanes with Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology repels bacteria and keeps fabric from absorbing man funk and other unpleasant smells. That means your socks, tees, boxers will smell fresher longer, giving you the confidence to quit the smelfy cold turkey. We're guys. We smell. That's what guys do. Well, Hanes is here to stop that. Right now, all the Pardon My Take listeners can get 25% off Hanes Fresh IQ products at Hanes.com with the promo code FRESHTAKE. That's F-R-E-S-H TAKE, Fresh Take. Some exclusions apply. Go to Hanes right now, 25% off using promo code FRESHTAKE. Let's go. Boy! Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, March 1st, and it is the Caps year.
You're absolutely right. And here's the other thing. It's March 1st, which means it is the quarter year anniversary for Part of My Take.
Yes. So our first episode was on February 29th, 2016. Leap year. There is no 29th this year. So first quarter earnings have come in. Very good first quarter, boys. Little round of applause for us. Good job. And to you, and to the award-winning listeners for supporting us. It's crazy that a year ago that we taped our first episode.
You were in my living room in Texas.
Yep.
In my actual house.
Yes.
I used to have a house.
In your home.
And, that first show was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. No, the first show was good. The second show is where it's bad. First show, remember,
beginner's luck.
We were like, these are all the fun things we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And everyone, for some reason, the only thing people listened to was they're going to do Cult Week and Airport Reviews.
Airport Reviews. Still coming.
Still coming.
Just wait.
Guess what? You've been doing it for the last quarter of a year. You're part of a cult. You listen to this show.
Yes. It's been cult year for us here. But to jump back to your original point, it is also now officially the Caps year.
They're going for it.
Everyone's talking about it. There are articles all over the place saying it's a Caps year. Ovechkin today said, everybody say it's our year. It's our year. It's time to do something.
This is our year. This is my favorite. The team that is going for it. Mm-hmm. They make that trade. And listen, they traded obviously for Kevin Shattenkirk. If you're the Washington Capitals, you can't get over the hump. You can't win the big one. What better thing to do than go get a St. Louis Blues?
That's great point.
Help them get over the hump. Yeah, exactly.
When I first saw this trade come through, I thought, awesome. This is going to be great. This is the missing piece. And then the more I look at it, it's like the Capitals, they've never had any bad experiences with a really good attacking defenseman that maybe scored a lot of goals, was excellent on the power play, and a defensive liability that's never come back to bite us in the ass in the past. So I'm even more irrationally confident now.
Yeah, I think this is a good move. This was basically the Capitals GM being like, okay, so we got Brooks Orpik. He's probably going to try to take someone's head off with his stick in the middle of the playoffs.
You need that.
Be suspended
for a few
games. You need
an X factor, though.
Right, so here's our Brooks Orpik is going to do something dumb and try to maul someone. Insurance.
Yes. Convince me why this is... why he's a better version of Mike Green.
He's no, this is a good trade, dude. This is a good trade. I mean, this is a good deal for the Capitals. They needed a little bit more firepower to beat the Penguins, and I like it.
Yeah, I would have liked to see a couple Swedes. You need
Swedes are soft.
I need some more Swedes on the team.
Every time I think of Swedes, I think of the Sedin brothers, and then I think of everyone who says Sedin sisters, and then I think of everyone who gets mad about that.
Yeah, well, you can't.
Nice little rabbit hole.
I'm glad that we didn't get any more Russians on the team.
Yeah, you can't win with Russians.
No, you need one Russian, and everybody knows that. You can't have two.
The other thing going on in the NHL, everyone's got mumps, so they're just kissing everyone.
Yeah, how do mumps get spread?
I think kissing. I think a lot of just like French kissing.
Oh, you know what? So it's the Wild that has the mumps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So calling it right now, it's going to be a mump slump. There's your headline.
I like this. So this is very NHL for this to happen. You know, like the NFL or the NBA would have herpes, but the NHL, more just kissing, mouth kissing.
Yeah, the NBA has herpes, but that's just because the players kiss each other on the court because they all love each other, not like back in the day when they were like the bad boy Pistons who never kissed anybody on the Showtime Lakers. but yeah, so mumps is a very hockey disease. It was Sidney Crosby that had it last year, right?
Yeah, he had that big blown up face.
But then it just turned
around.
Out he was just ugly.
Yeah,
and so that was a problem.
He can't grow
common
any
misdiagnosis.
Facial hair.
Yeah,
most people who are face bald are ugly.
I wouldn't know. I grow plenty of facial hair. I just have to dye it, bro.
The other thing we have going on, we have franchise tag season. Love franchise tag season. Who's going to get franchise tagged? Kirk Cousins.
Yes,
he got franchise tag. It's funny because it's one of two ways. It's one that you either get franchise tag because you know that you like the team. It's a financial decision. They know they have to do this
business
to
decision.
Keep this person.
That's what we say.
Or in Kirk Cousins' case, it's just a big sign that says, "Do we know if Kirk Cousins is good yet?"
No, we don't.
Shout out, Bill Simmons.
We do not know,
and we will never know. I think Kirk Cousins will perpetually be. Is he good or not?
Yes, he is the best quarterback that sucks.
Right.
Currently. It used to be Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Then it was Andy Dalton. Now it's Kirk Cousins.
I say Matt Stafford is the king of that.
He's in the suck conversation for sure.
Matt Stafford sucks so he was so good at sucking that he snuck in the MVP conversation. Think
that's
about
right.
That.
He was really
that's
good
how good
sucking.
He is at sucking.
Would you guys take him over Cam Newton?
Who?
Cousins.
Kirk Cousins?
Absolutely.
Fuck no.
Yes, absolutely.
What?
Kirk, say what you want about Kirk Cousins, but he knows how to lose with class.
Okay, that's an insane. I hope
he's
Were you joking?
No. Kirk Cousins is a winner.
It's a hot button
he
debate
is
right now.
Much
Cam Newton is
he's a
way
better. He's a
better
loser than Cam Newton. That means he's a better winner.
If we're talking real football terms, Cam Newton is a far superior player to Kirk Cousins.
Well, so what's going on in Washington is it's the equivalent of two parents staying together for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really love each other.
Yeah. And the kids being the fans.
Kids, well, the kid's Dan Snyder.
Oh, I think the kids are the fans.
I'm Dan Snyder. You don't take away my toy.
No, the fans are clearly divided, and they don't know if they want them or not.
Oh,
so it's
the fans' fault.
Yeah,
it's your fault. That's why mommy and daddy don't love each other anymore.
The other franchise tag, notable ones, JPP, Le'Veon Bell, did he get franchised?
You guys
said he did.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so I'm going to go with that. Alshon Jeffrey did not get franchise tagged.
Which, guess what? He predicted that he was going to win the Super Bowl next year.
True.
So that actually might come true now that he's not going to be on the Bears.
Yeah, if you want a guy who is very, very good and will miss 8 games because he tweaked his hamstring and then tweaked his other hamstring in his rehab, Alshon Jeffrey is now available.
Yeah, and so there's always like a big pity party that goes on when a player gets tagged because of the whole injury thing. Like if they do get hurt, they're fucked for the rest of their career basically because it's a 1-year deal. With Kirk Cousins, everybody's like, you got to take your hat off for this guy getting tagged twice in a row, getting what, $40 million guaranteed, 46. Yes. Here's the thing about Kirk Cousins. He's such a rube. He's probably the most wholesome, ignorant person to ever get paid $40 million in 2 years. Usually in order to get that kind of money, you have to be kind of cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins, if you live in Kirk Cousins' neighborhood and you are selling like Cutco knives or if you're a Girl Scout cookie salesperson, go to his house today.
Wrapping paper?
Yes. Go to his house immediately. All you have to do is just wear like a Michigan State golf shirt and be like, hey, I've got knives that can cut through this can of soda here. And he'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll take $400,000.
Here's $20 million.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Please, yes, come back. This is my wife. She's very pretty.
Here, I have a fun fact for you. If Alshon does go get signed by another team, you ready for the list of Bears players on the roster that were drafted before 2013?
Okay.
Okay, that was the full list.
Oh.
That's how you run a franchise, my friends.
Young team.
Just make sure all your draft picks fail miserably.
Young team, they don't have any bad habits, though.
Jesus Christ, what a dumpster fire. Also in the news, resident old white guy yelling at clouds, Bill Polian. He actually just does exist for this reason. He exists. ESPN basically trots him out every now and then, and they're like, hey, no one's really talking about football right now. Let's throw Bill Polian out there to make a hot take and get it trending again. So Bill Polian, for some reason, said that he doesn't think T.O. or Randy Moss should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, this is 4 weeks after the voting, and this was a hot-button thing, but, you know, Bill Polian, it takes a while for news to travel to wherever Bill Polian's brain lives. He is now saying both of them don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And he did the old, unfortunately, I think they will be in, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So heaven forbid.
He is he's a character guy, and he doesn't like their character.
Yeah, he is. If you think about what Bill Polian is famous for, he drafted Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Great job. He's basically famous because he didn't draft Ryan Leaf. That's number one.
Yeah.
The second thing that he's famous for is, I guess, drafting Bruce Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he drafted so many players in
he
Buffalo.
He did have those teams were pretty good.
Yeah, but none of them had the clutch gene. He's
correct.
Like the reverse pundit, the guy that invented pundit squares. If that guy had found out how to find what the clutch gene was and then never drafted that guy, that's how Bill Polian was in terms of building team chemistry.
I actually think it's unfair for Randy Moss to get lumped in with T.O., by the way. I think they're two different types of, like, locker room asshole.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Randy Moss was more like, I just don't want to try all the time. And he admitted it. He literally admitted it. Like, he tells you he's not going to try all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I play when I want to play. T.O. is like the malicious, I'm going to make everything about me and rip this locker room apart.
Mio.
Right. So, yeah. Randy Moss is more talented than T.O. and also not as big of a problem in my estimation.
You know, you got to give credit to Polian. He knows that you can't have an asshole wide receiver on your team. You need clean-cut guys.
Yeah.
That's why you draft Marvin Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We have next up, we have Bachelor Talk for guys that don't watch The Bachelor. So just a reminder, if you do watch The Bachelor and you want to listen to more of it, you can listen to the podcast Coming Up Roses with Barstool Trent and Barstool Chief and Kelly Keegs. They do a great job, but we don't watch The Bachelor. We're keeping up to date with it, though, so that you guys know what's going on. Water cooler talk.
Mm-hmm.
Keep
maybe
yourself,
impress the ladies with your knowledge of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And
maybe have something
Kareen
to talk to your girlfriend about for once. Okay, here we go.
All right, so last night's show, former Bachelorette and Nick's ex, Andy Dorfman, showed up and grilled Nick on whether or not he's ready to fall in love.
That's a dirty move. You bring the ex back?
Yeah.
Nobody's ex has good things to say about you.
That's tough. That's like in real life when the ex texts you like, you know, what's going on? Just thinking about you. But in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. That's dirty.
You up?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm up. I'm standing right here.
Yeah.
The villain of this season, Corinne, who we've talked much about.
Yep.
Finally
know
got,
what she looks like.
She finally got sent home and Nick called her kiddo as he consoled her.
Ooh.
Friend zone. Major, major friend zone right there.
She cried too. I was actually here.
That's tough too because she.
Didn't they make out?
Well, as far as I know. And all I know is whatever Trent has emailed us, Corinne was the bad bitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she had that, you know, thing going on. And if you know one thing about reality television, the bad bitch can sometimes get a spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Not when they're called kiddo on the way out the door.
Kiddo completely trashes her brand.
Right. You had terrible, terrible sex, Corinne.
You got to go out spitting like New York.
Yes.
Flavor of Love.
Actually, it was pumpkin.
Oh, pumpkin is pumpkin.
Yeah. Can you please get that right?
Yeah. If Corinne had like cried and yelled and if they had actually got into a fight, then that's spinoff city.
Or like go and make out with Nick and like, you know, have one passionate kiss like, you know, I'm crazy.
Was that the girl that said that she had the platinum vagine? I saw somebody on Twitter say something about that.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't because she's a kiddo.
Well, no, she might actually have like a metal vagina.
Yeah. It's bad luck for Corinne.
Chafe city.
Street cred in the toilet.
Finally, right before they headed into the fantasy suite, Raven told Nick that her ex-boyfriend never gave her an orgasm.
That's because orgasms don't exist for chicks. So
yeah. The old G-spot. Did she say the G-spot, too? That's the, hey, you know the Loch Ness Monster and Sasquatch and the G-spot?
Oh, where's the female orgasm even located?
Right.
Nobody knows. Come on. You can't find the orgasm.
Come on. Come on. Mm-hmm. That's also like the,
Wait, did her ex-boyfriend have orgasms?
Yeah.
So what's the big deal?
Yeah, so they had
sex. So the sex worked.
Yeah, exactly. Mission accomplished. He came. That's our bachelor talk. That one will go over well.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. For I feel bachelor like I watched talk, it.
Yeah, we're totally caught up. Can't wait for the finale, whenever that is. So if you want to talk about Bachelor with your coworkers, go ahead and throw some of those stats we threw out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Women can't have orgasms, and Corinne no longer can do a spinoff as the bad bitch.
Yep.
Let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne before we get to our awesome interview with Jay Wright, Villanova head coach. Hank, are you going to start?
Sure.
Okay. PFT, why don't you go?
Okay. My hot seat is anyone who ever achieves any level of internet fame.
Mm.
So our boy Gary from Chicago.
Gary.
He was front and center at the Oscars. And then, of course, somebody had to dig up dirt on his past and just ruin Gary for everybody. Even though all he did... Gary got tricked into walking onto camera.
Mm, I don't know about that.
You think you woke to the fact that it may have been staged?
I think he had to probably sign a release saying you're about to go on camera.
I think he signed the lease after the fact.
They don't just let people just walk into the Oscars without telling them they're walking into the Oscars.
Mm, I don't know about all that.
That's like the pizza delivery. Did you think the pizza delivery guy was real on Ellen?
Yeah.
When she did the Oscars?
Yeah, she ordered pizza for everybody at the Oscars, bro.
I actually feel bad for Gary because under normal circumstances, I think... Okay, you have to be a real idiot to go on to camera with this past and become a viral, you know, sensation. But Gary was in jail for 20 years. He has no idea how the internet works.
Gary probably didn't have the internet.
Right. So he was like, oh, that's fine. No one's even going to know who I am.
Yeah, remind me to never do anything online because people just look into my past and drag me down.
One of my favorite things on the internet is when, like, a high school kid will tweet something that gets, like, 30,000 retweets and then... all their friends would be like, oh, my God, you're so famous
now.
You're
famous. Like, wow. Made it. We've all made it. Let's just start smoking weed and driving around in a Cadillac. I'll be Turtle.
Right. So the lesson here is never do anything online, ever. My cool throne is parenting.
Okay.
So there was a bill that was passed in North Carolina where kids' parents can opt them out of having concussions. So if they see, like, a kid... get taken to the sideline and the trainers starting to do the whole like concussion protocol, the parent can be like, hey, you're not turning my son to a pussy. You're sending him back in that game.
Jim Tressel just moved to North Carolina.
That's right. Finally.
Trump just made America great
made
again.
Made football tough again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether or not a kid has a concussion, that's a private matter. That's a family matter. It's nobody's business.
Handle it behind closed
doors.
Keep
your government Dr. Obamacare death panel hands off my son. I'm going to be the one to tell whether or not he's seeing double.
Is this actually going to pass?
I think it was passed.
Oh, my God. You know what, though? The nice spin zone here.
Mm.
Bob Lee just got, like, 6 more years of outside the lines content.
They probably gave Bob Lee a raise, an extension.
Like, wow, Bob, you're going to have a lot to talk about now.
Yeah, the only trouble I see with this law is it implies that concussions do actually exist.
Mm-hmm.
So...
problematic.
Very problematic.
Yeah, studies still out there.
Mm. We're certainly... taking all necessary precautions and looking at things.
Right.
And then we'll do a study and we'll have a panel review that study.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. No. We have doctors up in the the doctors sit as far away from the action as possible because that's where we want them to be able to spot the signs of a concussion.
Yeah, the doctors are behind the offensive coordinators with their dip spit cups.
Yeah, and the doctors make sure the doctors don't know at all how the person normally acts.
Ooh, and also,
we don't want a baseline here.
Also make sure that the doctors are total cucks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But they get to be in that little commercial. That's nice.
Sideline doctors are
football's family.
Yeah, sideline doctors. I would say they're on the Mount Rushmore of cucks.
Yes.
Like, oh, excuse me, coach, but I don't think he's ready to go back.
Sit the fuck down.
Get him in. Get his helmet. Hank, you ready?
Yep. My hot seat is boobs.
Oh.
Okay.
Mardi Gras is over.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I thought we were gonna get some boobs.
There's still the internet though. So
what's that?
Spin zone. You can look at boobs anytime you want.
Mm.
It's not the same, bro.
Yeah. Not the same. You sounds like a guy who's never seen a real boob in his life.
Well, I've seen plenty of online boobs.
Yeah, well, not the same. Exactly. We're not denying the fact that you have a porn addiction.
Yeah.
We're denying the fact that you've ever touched a female's boob.
I like my boobs three-dimensional.
Yeah, I like to feel them.
When did the exchange rate of beads for boobs come into play?
What do you mean?
Seems to me like that's like 1800s. Foreign exchange counterfeiting.
Yeah,
like
whenever Girls Gone Wild started.
Right around the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah.
Okay.
Girls Gone Wild. Remember that shit?
Yeah,
it was that wasn't creepy.
No, I never watched it.
No, I don't.
That wasn't creepy at all.
What was Girl?
Are we doing explain?
Shut up.
Yeah. Do you not know what Girls
Gone
Wild
is? You actually don't know?
I mean, I've heard Urban Myths, but like I never like had to.
Okay, so
I never watched.
It was
so
Girls
VHS
Gone Wild
tapes.
Yeah, it was basically Peeping Tom porn before Peeping Tom porn existed.
It was Casting Couch, but they would go to the campuses. They'd get everyone really drunk. There'd be like a montage of chicks just flashing,
mm-hmm.
and then there would be the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then the girls' dads would be watching SportsCenter late night, and they see a commercial for Girls Gone Wild with their daughter in the commercial.
So Hank, now we're really going down a rabbit hole.
And then the guy, you know, it was a big political witch hunt, and he got thrown in jail for like a dozen years for rape. So.
Yeah, he's not a good guy. But Hank, it actually wasn't SportsCenter; it was on E. E is what we used to watch back in the day when you couldn't watch porn because you were, you know, you couldn't buy porn. The internet wasn't really hot in the streets, so you'd watch Brooke Burke, Gone Wild. Was it Gone Wild? No.
Yeah, something like that.
Wild On.
Yeah.
She was hot. She'd always be in like a bikini.
Anything with Tara Reid, too.
Yeah, then you'd watch Howard Stern used to do his show, Simulcast. And they would blur out the tits, but they would always have like porn stars talking about shit.
You knew there were
so
tits.
So you'd be like, okay, now I'm getting the gist of how this shit works. And then the Girls Gone Wild commercial would come on.
You're leaving one out, though. There was also Cops, and if you tune in,
no,
to a good,
get the fuck
good
out
episode
of here with
Cops.
That's your right, stop.
Then
stop.
There would be
stop.
Like
now
a
you're
pixel,
just making
a
sure.
little pixelated
so
nipple
what I,
that would
what
come
I
out.
Just said, and then Girls Gone Wild would run their commercials late night on E, and you'd be like, oh fuck, could you imagine if I had that VHS tape? I'd probably be jerking off, which I'm doing right now.
Here we go. Girls Gone Wild founder Joe Francis is currently living in Mexico, is a wanted man. So things turned out pretty well for him.
Yeah. Turns out if you just tape a bunch of inebriated underage girls, the law does not like that. And you got to go to Mexico and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
Real good guy.
The more you know.
Yeah, the more you know.
My cool throw-in is bracketologists.
Oh.
Yes, this is the season.
This is the season. For the next like 2 weeks, there'll be a lot of flip-flopping between the... The sevens and eights, the ones, one through threes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm
I liked your point. Are you going to say the...
No, go ahead.
You tweeted out the other day about how Joe Lunardi wears a full suit and tie.
Yes, very serious.
Just to break down the brackets.
Joe Lunardi has never taken... There's no one who's ever taken anything more serious in their life than Joe Lunardi takes getting the bracket, which at the end of the day, when you break it down, he's really only picking about seven teams. Because after all the conference tournaments, all the at-large bids that we know are there, it's like... You know, is St. Mary's in or, you know, is Dayton in? That's basically it.
And his bracketology proves that if you put ology at the end of anything, it can be taken seriously as a science. Like draftology is now a thing, too.
Hank, I'm actually going to do my cool throw-in first because it dovetails off that. Blind resumes. So love the blind resumes when they just throw out, well, their RPI is 35, but they lost 14 games, so in or out.
Oh, wait, are you saying that Team B is Xavier?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. And then my hot seat, similar to this, because it is now officially March, hot seat NBA. So if you watch the college, and actually vice versa. So we get the old college basketball versus NBA wars going. College basketball, drama, guys try.
I like the college game. The kids are out there putting forth effort, like they care about their team.
NBA, well, it's more talented. You know, LeBron.
Much better product. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't just shoot a bunch of threes with the line all in there and foul a bunch of... Also, hot seat, the foul, five fouls in college. Everyone gets mad about that, including myself.
I hate that rule.
I think it's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
All right, let's do, speaking of college basketball, Jay Wright, defending national championship Villanova Wildcats. He is their head coach, and he has a book out, and we had him in the office. A great interview with Jay Wright. Let's do that.
March Madness is up next, and BetDSI will be having a $1 million bracket contest for all of our listeners. Completing a perfect bracket is close to impossible, so they're also adding guaranteed prizes for best overall March Madness bracket performances. All of our listeners will get a free entry into the BetDSI Madness Contest. BetDSI, in case you missed it, they've got over 20 years in business. They're a top-rated business on most sportsbook review sites. They've got great mobile product that's easy to use from anywhere. They have live in-game wagering. You can make plays throughout entire games and events, even bet the Oscars live, which you should have done like we did. Great customer service is available 24/7, 365, and they've built their reputation on fast payout of winnings. And they're going to give you $25 just to try for registering. 200% bonus on your first deposit as well. Here's what you do. Use promo code TAKE. That's T-A-K-E 200. TAKE 200. BetDSI.
We now welcome on head coach of Villanova, defending national champions. And he also is an author, has a new book out today, February 28th. So this is going to air on Wednesday. So yesterday, his book came out. It's called Attitude. Develop a winning mindset on and off the court. It is Jay Wright. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you guys today, man. This is my first on sale day interview.
Well, okay.
Yeah, man. First
Love
one.
It.
Thank
all
you.
Right, so before we get into all the basketball stuff, let's talk quickly about your book. I was reading a couple of the excerpts. I saw there was a line that said, stay hungry, stay humble. So I wanted to find out how hungry should I stay.
You got to always be hungry. Looking at you guys hanging out in here, not in terms of your food, but you guys are having great success. And so you want to stay hungry to keep getting better, keep coming up with all the wild stuff you do, all the wild rumors and ideas and thoughts you come up with. You got to just keep wanting to get better at it all the time, scares me.
Yeah. Yeah.
To stay humble, my technique is to just go around telling everybody how humbled I am by everything. That's a good way to do it, right?
Yeah, when something good happens to you, just say, I'm humbled.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so humbled by winning this national championship. That's how it works, right? When you're declared the best at something, it makes you humbler.
Well, for us, after we won it, one of the first things we did in the locker room, we always pray after the game, we got our hands together, and we all said, like, let's make sure this isn't the best thing you do in your life. Like, this is a great accomplishment, and hell yeah, we're gonna celebrate. We're gonna celebrate tonight. But after this, let's make sure that we use what we learned on this journey to help us do other great things in life for other people. So we're trying to do that this year. We're trying.
Did you actually celebrate after the national championship? Because I saw you when you walked off the court. You hadn't cracked a smile yet.
It was the Nick Saban school of winning a national championship.
I wasn't that bad. I wasn't as bad as Nick Saban.
Yeah. Did you recruit right after? Did you get on the phone that night?
No.
Were you mad that you had to spend an extra week playing basketball instead of recruiting?
No, hell no. No, you know what? I'm not that. We were talking earlier. I have two sons that just graduated college, and my daughter Riley's a senior in high school. And my wife's here. And we on the court, we do a family hug on the court. You know, we all get out there. That was a great celebration for me. We all just get arm in arm in a huddle, and then afterwards we went back to the hotel and we cracked open some bottles of wine with our friends and our family and just chilled and kept drinking wine and kept saying, "Can you believe that that just happened? Can you believe that that just happened?"
Now, I've always wondered about, like, the night after you win a national championship, because you have to get up at, like, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning and do all the morning shows, right, and do all the interviews. Yeah. How much coffee do you have to chug before you do that? Like, did you just have the worst hangover of all time?
Definitely. Literally, we were up maybe till, I'd say, 4 in the morning, because you get back so late. By the time, what time the game might have started, like, 9 o'clock
or
something,
late.
Right?
It was late.
Then you're on the court for 45 minutes, and then you do all the media after that. By the time I got to the hotel, it might have been, like, 1:30. Then everybody's in the hotel.
Sure.
So that place is mobbed, and you do all that, right? You know what? It was probably later than 4 or 5. Patty's saying 5 o'clock, we probably got to bed. And then, we got up at like 6, 6:30, and you are pounding coffee. And then you do that all morning, and then you get back to Philly, and you hadn't really been, we hadn't been in Philly for like 4 weeks, Big East tournament, 3 weeks. Then they're ready to party. Mm-hmm. You're exhausted. We thought, okay, we're done. All right, we can go back and rest. We had a whole nother day. I'm not complaining. I would do it again.
The Wawa tour, yeah.
last question about the book. When is the audiobook coming out for guys who don't read well?
It's out.
Oh,
today.
It's out.
It's out today.
Look at that. This is a book for us. Man, so we don't read. We're not readers.
I got it. That's how I read it.
Is there a Wikipedia on the book yet?
Do we have Wikipedia on the book yet?
Our listeners will whip something
we're more
up,
Wikipedia
I'm sure.
guys, if we're really going to break it down.
That audio, that's exactly what I do, man. When I'm recruiting on the road, I get a book in there. It's awesome.
Perfect.
So we got it. You can get it.
All did you do the audio for it? Did you read it?
I did the intro for the audio, and then Mike Sheridan, the author, did the regular.
Okay. Nice.
That's a little bit, I found out, that's a little bit tough work. I went in that day in the studio to do
reading,
it
mm-hmm.
and didn't have my glasses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the director that was in my ear, I know he's thinking like, this dude's illiterate, man. And I said, yo, man, I'm sorry. I'm not this bad. I don't have my glasses. This room's dark.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, you're reading it and there's a guy in your ear saying, no, that's not, you know, he's repeating the word. That's accomplishment. That was accomplishment. And you're looking at it like, oh, this guy really thinks I'm dumb, man.
All right, let's talk about basketball. I am the living embodiment of a Villanova hater reformed.
Really?
Yes. So you guys, obviously, you love the three.
Right,
you live by the three, die by the three.
Right. We're getting better, though, this year.
That was kind of my question leading up to my question. So I, you know, 2015, I said this team, if they can't shoot, they're not going to make anywhere.
And you were right.
That turned true, yep. And everyone kind of, you know, Villanova fans, they're very passionate. They got mad at me. Last year, I thought that the team, the difference was you guys had multiple different ways to win, and you saw it in your tourney run. So what was it, Elite Eight game against Kansas, you guys shot awful. From
exactly.
Them. Right.
Exactly.
So has that been a conscious change in the way you've coached? Like, hey, we had all these years where if we just have one cold game, we're out. And that's how hard the tournament is.
Yeah. Shooting the three became a big part of getting us to a certain level. Because, you know, sometimes when you play on the road, there's a lot of things that can happen. Even the way a game is officiated. Like, it always amazes me, you play a game at home, you beat a team by 25. Then you go on the road, you play that same team, and you win by two. It just, games are officiated differently, whether you like it or not. The one thing that can't be affected is the three-point shooting. You know, if you're a team that's driving the ball to the basket all the time, you play at home, you might get some calls. Mm-hmm. You go on the road, you don't get those calls, you're dead.
Which feels counterintuitive because I've always, you know, been of the mindset that if you can get into the lane and you can get to the rim, you're going to – that will never go away. But what you're saying is, and I actually – now that I'm thinking about it, because the reffing is kind of – you know, let's not say it's –
yeah, what –
I mean, I think you just said
just
that you
happens.
Hate the refs.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, right. On the road in the Big East, yeah, yeah. He hates the refs.
No, but that I never thought of it that way.
It
right.
You know, we found over time that happened. If you guys remember the old Big East was just, they were just bloodbaths. You know,
right.
You're just tackling each other. And you would see certain teams, even when you'd play better against them, you know, at your place, they might shoot 15 foul shots. You go to their place, they shoot 35. Mm-hmm. So that was part of it. We said, like, we can't rely on this style of play. We got to get shooters. So we got shooters. That got us to another level. And then in the NCAA tournament, it only takes one game where you're not making those shots.
Right.
During the regular season, and I know you guys study this stuff, if you look at it, John Beilein's teams, when he was at West Virginia, used to always shoot threes. Mm-hmm. He would have one or two games a year during a regular season where they would go, like, 2 for 30. And they'd lose to some team. You'd say, like, how'd they lose? Mm. But all the other games, they'd make their threes. We kind of went with that. But then we said, we got to be able to have a balance when those shots aren't coming in, and it's the last game of the year.
Right.
And we started to develop our inside game a little bit more. I do think we have a better balance this year.
Because that Kansas game last year, an old Villanova team loses that game.
Exactly. Well, yeah. An old Villanova team that was shooting threes,
right.
Yes. An old Villanova team – before that, in the old Big East,
that's
what that game was like. It
right.
was like a rock fight.
Right.
You know, we just nobody could make a shot. They were mm-hmm. just killing each other.
Right.
But now we have the balance.
So with the Big East tournament coming up, followed immediately by the NCAA tournament, you mentioned it before. It's a grueling month or so of basketball. Do you get the team motivated? Does your routine change at all from the Big East compared to, you know, going into the elimination round of the NCAA?
You know, that's the big issue that when you get a level of success that you know you're going into the NCAA tournament, that's a big issue to tackle. Because, for instance, this week we played Saturday and we play next Saturday against Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that at the beginning of the season, you say, man, that sucks. I don't a week at the end of the season, guys don't want to be practicing at the end of the season for a week. But we're so banged up right now. Our goal is to get our guys fresh physically and mentally this week. We took Sunday off, Monday we did what we call a flush day. We could go in that another time. It's all about getting you physically and mentally refreshed.
Mm-hmm. How do you mentally refresh?
We do yoga.
Man card.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, we have to do it. We're guys. So
I do flush days Sunday and Monday mornings usually.
Yeah. I skip buffalo wings for a night.
That's a different flush day. I can just imagine.
Yeah.
But also talking to them on Sunday and Tuesday about mentally refreshing on Monday. But don't talk to them on Monday. Mm. No basketball, no meetings.
Silent treatment.
Yeah. Neg them. Yeah, I like it.
That's cool.
And it's big, but it's all about knowing that we're going into this four-week run, and we got to get these guys fresh at this end of the year.
Okay. Do you think there's a Big East bias?
I don't think so anymore. I think there used to be.
Okay, now answer that for real. Do you think there's a Big East bias?
No. Wait a minute. The Big East bias in terms of
I think there's a national, and
we get positive attention.
No, I think you guys get forgotten now because of the shift, because the Connecticut and Syracuse and all these teams are all scattered now. I think people, and it's kind of a mishmash of a conference at this point, you know, geographically.
Yeah,
I think sometimes the Big East gets forgotten.
All right, so I'm old school. So when you say Big East bias,
right.
I was thinking about the
talking about the
Big East. Used to get.
Right, that's the whole point, is the new Big East does get forgotten. I think the old Big East obviously was the preeminent, conference.
We definitely got some. One year we got 11 teams in out of 16.
Mm-hmm. Right,
that was Big East
and the
bias.
Madison Square, the Big East Conference, you know, championship at Madison Square Garden was a big deal.
Yeah.
But do you think now with the new Big East, you guys kind of get passed over a little bit?
I think we do not get the publicity we did in the old Big East. However, I think college basketball and college athletics have totally changed. So this new Big East is not the old Big East. There will never be another old Big East. But all the other conferences are different too now. The ACC is not the old 9-team league, Tobacco Road. It's different. Big 12 is different. Pac-12 is different. Big Ten's got teams in New Jersey.
Just
so it's different. We do not get the hype we used to, but it's the best thing I think in college basketball. It's the best league in college basketball. Those other leagues now I think are football leagues,
right?
And we are a pure basketball league
now, right? Now that Syracuse is no longer in it, you can say this: Jim Boeheim kind of a chicken for running that zone, right?
Yeah. Just be a man about it. Play man up.
No, yeah. I'll tell you what. Let me tell you what he does. That dude goes out and gets big, long, athletic guys, and it's almost cheating. You put those big, long guys on that court, and it's not just the zone that he implements. It's those guys, when they put their arms out from sideline to sideline, you can't
Hakeem
get by
Moore.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He basically just has a poster of Hakeem Moore. He's like, we need that every single year.
Exactly right. Yeah. That's what he looks for.
Yeah.
So he's a cheater. Got it.
Okay. What about Jim Calhoun? You ever get in an argument with Jim Calhoun? He's a spicy guy.
I love Jim Calhoun.
I do too.
When I came into the league as a head coach, I was the youngster, and he was the man. And everybody else competed with him. You know, he wasn't into it to be anybody's friend, you know? But he looked at me like, this young dude, he's never going to beat me, and he's a good guy, so I'm going to hang out with him. I'll talk to him because I'm not worried about
him.
One year, we beat them. They were number one. We beat them at the Wells Fargo Center. This was after a few years in the league. We had to go at Connecticut to play them, and there's a rule in the Big East. You stand for the national anthem across from each other, and then the two teams come together and shake hands. When we came together to shake hands, he took his team off the court, and they walked. Our guys were standing out there with their hands extended.
Hockey coach would never do that.
I was pissed.
Yeah. Jimmy C.
I was pissed, man. I was really pissed. But since we made up right after that, I think the dude's – you know what I love about him? He's a killer. He wants to beat you at anything he does, and he doesn't fake it. He doesn't fake like he's your boy. And he's real. And, you know, he'll be legit. He'll hang with you, talk to you. But you know all the time, he wants to beat your ass. That's the bottom line.
Love it.
We play this game with everybody. It's called Remember That. So I just want to say, you remember that flute girl that was crying when you guys lost in the tournament a couple years ago? Did you see her?
Yes.
Did you ever apologize to her?
No, but...
She was so sad.
When I showed up the next day on campus, come in the office, there was media everywhere. And I thought, what the hell, man? We're out. We're lost. What are they all here to do? And I walked by them, and said hello to a couple, but it was very obvious they were not there for me. Mm-hmm. So I went into my office. I'm like, what are they all doing at this? They're here to interview the flute girl. She was a star, man. She became a rock star after that.
She was a star. Second, remember that. Remember when Alan Ray's I Got Poked Out?
Oh, man.
Remember that?
I try not to.
Remember that?
That was one of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life. And I saw it.
Yes.
It was right in front of our bench. You know, he has a certain type. We found out about this. If you look at, like, his eyes kind of bulge, mm-hmm. there's a certain type of...
It's called the Rache Caldwell. That's what it is. It's a medical term. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whatever. You can... Those eyes can actually pop out and go back in.
Oh,
it's that's what happened.
All right. I don't actually want to remember that.
That was a bad topic.
We have to talk about your suit game because you are the best dressed coach.
Is it Indochino?
I don't know if I'm taking that from you guys.
All right.
I don't know what that means from you
Be
guys.
Be honest, though. Are there times when you're like, I wish I could just let it go and dress in like a jumpsuit like Huggy Bear?
Hell
just
yeah.
Like, give up on life?
As I say this all the time, I think coaches should coach in sweatsuits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
or jerseys.
See, when.
But why not? You obviously can. Yeah. So you need to be at the forefront. The talk is cheap right now.
Here's what it is. It's tradition. There's a guy at CCMY named Nat Holman back in the 50s. He started it. Then Frank McGuire at St. John's. And mm-hmm. those guys were like the preeminent coaches, and they dressed sharp. But they sat on the bench and never moved.
Right.
We're all over the place now. And when you sit in a huddle, the guys are sweating on you, and they're on your suit, and it's great. But I just look at it like, you know what? I want to be respectful of the tradition, if that's a tradition. I would like Huggy Bear to start a movement and get some rule made in the NCAA where we have to wear sweatsuits.
Yes.
Okay. Then I would love it.
Get it legislated in. That way, the choice is out of
my hands.
Okay.
Right, right.
That's great.
I like that.
That wouldn't bring up a man card that I need a rule to get myself.
I had one other quick basketball question, and this one always interests me. Villanova does this thing where you guys run – like a 2-2-1 press, but it's super soft.
Yeah.
Are you basically saying that the other team's so dumb and these kids like are gonna freak out when they see a press, even though it's not really a press?
You know what?
I know that you know that I know.
There's a basketball terminology that would probably match what you just said.
Right.
So it's correct. Your terminology is a little difficult to take,
but
a
little rough around the edges.
But, rude, but yeah. You know what? It is basically the point.
Right.
I don't want to argue that.
You watch it and you're like, they're not really pressing, but the other team is kind of moving a little faster than they should and a little bit more, you know, out of rhythm.
Exactly, and it's taking time off the shot clock.
Okay.
And
I know
they're thinking about the press. You got it.
That's mind games.
We don't really need to put that out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there on tape. But if anyone does their job, do you have another one? I was going to have you.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, one more game we like to play with people. It's called JK. So you get to say something, but you're actually kind of kidding, but you can really say it. What NBA team would you like to coach?
Kind of kidding. The Knicks.
Okay.
OJ right to the Knicks.
Okay.
Huh. Nothing
Madison
like,
Square Garden.
Like, oh. Madison Square Garden. But we're kidding, of course, because I don't want to
leave. Oh, yeah.
Totally
JK.
Just a joke.
But Jay right to the Knicks.
Jay right to the Knicks.
You heard
print
it here
it,
first.
Print it up.
Pardon my take. All right.
This is the worst place to say something like this on this show. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm having too much fun here.
Oh, you have someone else that you want?
This is where you
don't say that. Yeah, we softened you up.
We
played a little. We softened you up with some basketball talk.
Please, when you guys quote this and put that.
No, it's JK.
Make sure it was JK.
It's JK. I mean, people will our award-winning listeners will tweet it, but they also are JK.
Yeah.
They don't worry. It's all JK.
But it's the problem is all your listeners are like my sons who live and die by you guys. They get it, but when that gets out to people who are like 60, 70 years old, they don't get it, and it gets real.
Okay.
That's what
on
gets
the
me
record,
in trouble.
Jay Wright does not want to coach in
the
NBA.
Thank you.
But if he were to coach in the NBA, he would go to the Knicks. All right, I want you to quickly give me – if you, I'm a recruit. You're looking at my game. I'm going to tell you my strengths and weaknesses. Assign me a star on the 5-star. You know, tell me if you would take me at Villanova. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Strengths, hard fouls, moving screens, fighting through screens. I've never let anyone put a pick on me. I'll fight right through it.
I believe that.
I'm exceptional at boxing out.
Yeah.
Rebounding. Communication in, like, when I'm getting really tired, I'm like, someone get my man, and I walk up the court.
I know this guy.
Locker room jokes, I'm a guy's guy, so I keep it loose.
Yep.
You know, that's You need that. All right, ready for the weaknesses? Yeah. Dribbling, shooting. Shooting when someone gives me like a really good pass and I'm not expecting it, like a layup. I'll miss those layups every single time.
This is perfect. This is
stamina.
Good.
Moving without the ball. I always forget to do that. Anytime I play with a shirt that the sleeves are a little too tight, you know that.
I know that guy.
You can't.
I know your game.
And then finally, remembering to drink enough water.
That is awesome.
So
man.
What would you say? What? You take me?
You should get that. You should print that, man, because that is every guy on my fraternity team at Bucknell that I coached. They were called the Enigmas.
Yeah.
So we couldn't play. You know, if you're on the varsity team, you couldn't play an intramural. So my fraternity was Sigma Chi. So we had all those guys.
Yeah.
And they had a team called the Enigmas, and I was the coach. And those guys still take credit to this day for me being a coach that I could deal with them. And they were all just like, and I'm just screaming at all of them like, yo, dude, just because you're tired, don't point to somebody else. Go.
No, you got
to
do that.
That's your man.
That's communication.
Go get him.
That's communication. On the
One other thing you're pretty good at is holding people back in a fight.
Yeah.
So he'll be the third man in. Well, and
starting
you
the fight, then holding,
back. Yeah. I'm really good at holding teammates back after somebody dunks the ball on the sidelines. That's important. To have a guy make sure you don't get technicals.
So would you take us?
I would take you. I would take you on our fraternity team.
Listen,
that's about it. Okay. That's the worst guy on your real team.
Yeah, but hold on.
But
now
that is a greatest description of that guy I've ever seen.
Hold on. You get to the end of a game. You got a foul. You don't want to have one of your star guys. I mean, Jalen Brunson's got four fouls. You don't want to have him foul.
Five years ago, you could have played, but they've instituted the flagrant foul rule now, and the impact, you would not be able to do it. In a way that you wouldn't get a flagrant foul and really hurt us, or possibly the opponent.
Right, well, that would help us.
But that's different now.
Right. Hurting the opponent would help us.
The old Big East, you would have been valuable.
I would have been a star.
You're done now. It's why Rodman and those guys can't play now in the NBA.
All right, final question. We do this with everyone. It's called headline grab.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to try to get a headline grab.
We're actually going to bury
your Knicks headline grab.
Yes. Thank you.
You guys defending national champions,
right?
A little back to back. You gonna guarantee it?
No guarantee. But it is. There is a concern when you start the season that you don't even get to the tournament to defend your back to back. And I don't know. You're not that into factual research, I know. So you don't have to look back. I don't know if that's happened to anybody, but there's a little fear in the beginning. Like shit, we might not even get there. So
right.
I'm happy right now that I know we're going to get there with a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it starts, it's a tournament, man. Anything can happen.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. All right, Jay Wright, thank you so much. Everyone go check out his book, Attitude. Oh, can you give us like maybe change our mind? Wash our brains out real quick. Give us a little, you know,
flush day.
Motivate.
About your attitude?
Yeah.
About you just think about, you know, all the crazy stuff you guys do every day and people probably get pissed at you because you say things that get everybody worked up and in trouble. At the end of the day, no matter how bad you feel about it, which I don't know how bad you feel, just wash it all out and go into the next day. All I control today is not how mad everybody is at me, but I control being positive and going out there and creating new rumors and get more people in trouble today. I can do it with a great attitude.
Okay. I love it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Jay Wright, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Best of luck. I'm a V's up guy. I'm a Villanova guy for the tournament.
I appreciate that.
My Wisconsin Badgers stink. So
no, they're gonna be all right.
No,
they'll be all
they're
right.
They're not gonna be all right. We'll don't do lie
for
to
another
me.
Show. They're gonna be all right. I'm
don't
telling
lie
them.
To me. You already
in a
washed
tough
that
league.
Out. You
in
must
a tough
have washed
league.
Out the last 3 weeks that they've played and how bad they've looked.
But when they get to the tournament, they have played in a tough league and they play a style that's gonna make them effective.
All right, I appreciate that. But my second team will be Villanova.
Thank you.
Back to back, guaranteed. Jay Wright.
Jay Wright, thanks for coming on. Future New York Knicks head coach. Pleasure to talk to you.
Bias book attitude. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
That was awesome.
You guys are scary. You guys are scary.
There's a lot of change and uncertainty in the country right now. When it comes to your retirement portfolio and life savings, you don't want it all sitting in the stock market. You want to diversify it. Do what I did and look into richuncles.com. Rich Uncles is a REIT, a real estate investment trust. They own commercial property. They collect rent from the best creditworthy tenants and then pay you a monthly cash dividend, currently a 7% annualized dividend. That's pretty good. Rich Uncles is ideal for IRAs and a great way to diversify your investment portfolio to add steady income. RichUncles.com was recently featured in the Wall Street Journal. You can see that article and all the information you need to make an informed decision at RichUncles.com. Like any investment, it has its risks and it's not guaranteed. Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to RichUncles.com or call 855-RICH-UNCLES and let them know that you heard about them on Pardon My Take.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
All right, let's do some segments. First up, we have Trouble in Paradise. This was quick. This was quick even for Boogie's standards. Boogie Cousins traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans are 0-3 with him on the team. He was seen drunk with panties in his mouth at a Mardi Gras party.
Okay.
And he's suspended the next game because he got his 18th technical of the year.
Wow.
So
yeah.
That is
off to a bad start, with the exception of the drunk with panties in your mouth thing. I feel like that's...
When in Rome.
Yeah, when in Rome, you do that. Rex Ryan, or Rob Ryan, coached for an entire year, basically, in that exact same scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Down in New Orleans.
I actually don't blame him for the technical foul. That was... Well, I do blame him in that his reputation precedes himself, where he is such like a hothead on the court that he's going to get these ticky-tack technical fouls. But he really didn't do anything. Like, it was one of those ones where it's like, we're just giving it to you on reputation.
If you get traded, your flagrant foul should be wiped clean.
No, they should stay with the other team.
Pass them off to somebody else.
Yeah, but Buddy like, Hield should have them.
You shouldn't come with that baggage. Are you already getting started eating for Mike and Mike Fairplay?
You got to warm up. Next up, we have Mike and Mike
Fairplay.
Let
me introduce this, because you're already eating in preparation
for
Mike Fairplay.
Let me ask you a question. This is a good question
for
what we're going to do Mike and Mike Fairplay for. Would you run a marathon without stretching?
No.
So why would I eat at Mike and Mike Fairplay without eating before?
Because I wouldn't run a marathon. You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
So today on Mike and Mike, they were discussing for about an hour, and with every single guest that they brought in, they revamped the conversation with them. What would you do instead of having to run a marathon? How would you get out of it?
Okay.
So we're
going to
do it.
Today I have Nutter Butters.
Mm-hmm.
A little guy humor for you. Get it?
Mm.
Then
hit those nut butts.
Yeah, and then I have
chicks don't have a nut button.
Fritos chili cheese chips. So
those are actually really good.
Yeah.
Those are favorite spot.
Oh, I know. Let's get it going.
Welcome back to the Mike and Mike Subway Progressive Pennzoil Hotline. Today we're discussing, what would you rather do: run a marathon or have sex?
Run a marathon. Blech.
Ah, well, I don't have sex. I'm married.
Oh, well, I would probably run a marathon. And at every mile, you got a hot dog and a piece of cheesecake.
My wife and I don't sleep with each other.
Greeny.
Because we're married. Married people don't have sex. Anyway, welcome back to the 1-800-Flowers inbox. Today we're talking about marathons. Would you rather watch C-SPAN for 12 hours or run a marathon?
Greeny, let me interject here. I once ate 26 Johnsonville brats on an NFL Sunday. So I've ran a marathon or two.
All right, thanks for listening to Mike and Mike in the Morning. Tune in next time. We'll be talking about Mike and Mike doing marathons and not sleeping with our wives because we're married.
A little clarification. Nutter Butters and Frito chili cheese do not mix flavor palette-wise.
They go together like marriage and sex.
Mm, okay.
There's
a Mike and Mike Fairplay.
There were tons of I don't have sex, I'm married jokes today. They were flying.
Oh, I'm sure.
They were flying.
I'm sure. That's super relatable. They want to let everyone know out there. All right, next up we have you introduced one. Is Cam Newton.
Yeah, so we haven't done this segment in a long time. It's who could Cam Newton learn a lot from about how to lose with dignity? So today we're going to Russia. There was a Russian league hockey game, and Baikal Energy, that's the name of the team. I guess they named their hockey teams after oil companies out there.
Yep.
That's
everything's
normal.
Oil. Yep. People forget that Vladimir Putin is just a glorified gas pumper.
That's right. So Baikal Energy, they won 11-9. But here's the thing. all 20 of the goals that were scored during the game were own goals. It was one of those situations where both teams were trying to lose to get a better seed in the playoffs.
Come on.
Yeah. So I guess they were like trying not to play against Putin's team because people forget Putin is like the best hockey player in the history of the world. They didn't want to run into him in the opening round.
A little snipe dangle snipe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little highlight, bad radio highlight of Vladimir Putin's game.
He goes tape to tape for sure.
Next up, we have an oh, you think. What do you got there?
According to a study in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin, people who have sex more often are happier than people who don't.
Oh. So.
You think?
No, duh.
So not married people is what you're saying, Gullet.
That is, I love when they do these studies.
I actually disagree with this.
Okay.
Not having sex kind of rules.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about doing anything. You don't have to actually.
This, again, sounds like someone who's never touched a real boob.
He's basically saying, like, well, here's the thing. If you don't have sex, there's more time to think about having sex.
Listen, man.
Yeah, because people spend so much time having sex.
Listen, man. Guy to guy, are we in the guy tree?
Yeah, we're in the guy tree. The man cave.
Fucking chicks is awesome.
Yeah?
That was the guy tree.
Sweet.
All right, next up we have thoughts and prayers to Adrian Peterson, who got cut by the Vikings. Thoughts and prayers. I actually think Adrian Peterson's career is, he's going to end up somewhere, right?
He got cut by the Vikings.
Yeah.
So he's, did the Vikings make him go get his own branch to cut himself?
Yes. They, can I get real for a second? Adrian Peterson is not for the NFL in 2017.
He's not, you don't think he's going to be on a team. Is that what you're
saying? He's going to be on a team, but his game is, he can't pass block. He doesn't catch the ball that often. He doesn't run the ball out of shotgun. Like, this isn't the NFL for him.
Are you saying that his whole game's chump?
No, I'm saying that it's just, teams don't run, like, offenses that are played to Adrian Peterson's strengths.
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to get attached somewhere as a change of pace back. And they're going to put him in, and he's going to get 11 carries again.
It is crazy, though, because I don't think that Adrian Peterson is going – he's going to end up somewhere. I'm admitting that. But I don't think he's going to have, like, some crazy numbers or, like, resurgence. I think it's pretty much a career for him, and it's insane to think that he was one of the most dominant and, like, electrifying running backs, and then it came out that he hit his kid with a switch.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's still going to be good, actually. I don't think he's going to be – he's not going to be the guy. It's not going to be whose man's is this.
But Adrian, you do Peterson, realize he doesn't run the ball out of shotgun, and every team runs shotgun.
He can learn how to take a handoff in
at
shotgun. 30,
at 32.
It's not like you're asking him to, like, learn quantum physics.
No,
it's, hey, instead of running three steps before you touch the ball.
You're talking about the guy who –
just get it while you're standing still.
You're talking about the guy who got sick because he ate a bunch of shrimp because he's allergic to shellfish and forgot.
I'm going
to
defend against that. Shrimp is delicious. I know a guy.
Oh, it is.
I know a guy that is allergic to shellfish that brings an EpiPen with him and will still go to a restaurant, eat the shrimp, and then stab himself.
He is a dog that eats chocolate and gets sick. And that guy's going to learn how to change his game.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's all you do. You say, hey, Adrian, instead of doing something before you get the ball, just don't do anything. And then when you have the ball, that means now it's time to run.
Do something.
That's all you tell him.
Right. Next up, we have Tebow Watch. Tebow Watch is back, and I am so happy. Tim Tebow is at the Mets training camp. He hit 9 home runs in batting practice.
Is that an all-time record for home runs in batting practice?
In batting practice.
I've never heard that stat before.
I like how people, like, the media is complicit in the Tim Tebow Watch. They want Tim Tebow
because we're the media.
Yeah, I know. We're complicit as well.
Okay.
But I saw it was being spun, and someone said, Tim Tebow is a batting practice hero. Someone said, Tim Tebow, it's only batting practice, so don't read too much into it, but scouts definitely used it to evaluate players. Going deep in batting practice shows the strength is there. Because that was really what we were worried about, Tebow's strength.
Yeah, I was concerned that he wasn't a good enough athlete.
Right. His arms weren't big enough. That was my one concern. Yeah. Not catching a ball, hitting a curveball, playing defense, running, all that stuff, I'm not worried about.
Right. The guy can hit a backdoor slider as good as anybody. But can he go deep? That's the question. They also didn't say how many attempts that he, like how many pitches he saw. So I could see
he hit four home runs in five pitches.
Okay, well I could.
So
still,
there you go.
I could still
whatever
see,
you're about to say is irrelevant.
No, I could still see Tim Tebow like staying out, like for 4 hours taking batting practice until I get my nine.
Right. Until
I'm not going his, until I get my nine.
Why aren't they doing Undisputed from live from Mets camp?
Oh, they're talking about
for
it.
For Skip?
Yeah, they should have.
Why? Well, like, what are they doing?
I would like to see Skip Bayless embedded as a reporter, but not for the Mets, just like just tagging along with Tebow.
He's sharing be a like hotel a bat room, boy for Tebow.
Sharing a hotel room with Tebow.
Yeah.
Drawing a bath for him.
Tim Tebow watches great. I can't wait to watch him like face anyone who can throw anything and just strike out, strike out, strike
we gotta
out.
We got to go to some of the Mets. Like I think two of their affiliates are here in New York. Mm-hmm. Or in the area. We got to go to some Tebow games.
Yeah, we should go to a Tebow game.
And
big
then,
time Tebow game.
And then what we'll do is we'll have Tebow revive you.
Yes. That fat man has fallen.
Yeah.
He looks like he's having a heart attack.
No, he's just really tired,
yeah,
turns
just,
out.
I just like to sit. Yeah. Do we have that clip, Hank?
Yeah.
We actually were planning in Houston to try to find Tim Tebow and fake that I was having a heart attack in PFT. We'll post this clip on Twitter. Follow at Pardon My Take on Twitter and Instagram. We'll post this clip. We were all set to do it, and Tebow never showed up. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get him. We're going to get Tebow. He's going to revive
me. He's going to save your
he's
damn
gonna
life.
He's going to revive me from my fake heart attack. And then karma will bite me, and I'll get a real heart attack like three weeks later when there's no Tebow to be found.
I don't think your heart attack's going to be related to your fake heart attack. I think you're just going to have a heart attack.
Right, no, but that's karma.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah,
that's why I'm an asshole, is so that mm-hmm. later on when something bad happens to me.
It's karma.
It's karma. Wasn't karma. My decisions or choices.
Sabermetrics. What's the Sabermetrics we got in Minnesota?
Yeah, so quick update at the Vikings Stadium. We talked about this earlier. They got a brand new stadium. It's pretty sweet, but it's also killing birds at an unheard of rate. They've had, in 11 games, they had 60 dead birds that flew into the glass wall and died. And then here's the other thing. They had 14 stunned birds,
ooh,
which I don't know.
What
like,
is that?
I don't
do
know.
Kill
like a concussed bird?
Yeah.
So it's too early to tell if the birds' deaths are linked to damage that they received from flying headfirst into the glass. But the Vikings are going to study it, and the NFL is going to look into it.
Yeah, they're going to figure it out. You know what a nice PR 101 would be? Is next winter, when it gets really cold, let all the homeless people in Minnesota stay inside the stadium.
That'd be great if they did that, yeah.
Or, nope, that was fake. Sorry. Yeah.
Some real asshole just put that out, just invented that fact.
Yeah. Before we go, we have some breaking moves from Hank. All right, hit us with the breaking moves.
All right, so it's actually more of a people forget that, but as you guys know, Draymond Green and Paul Pierce have been going at it. During the game the other day, Draymond was, you could hear him just going, like talking shit, saying this ain't going to be no farewell tour, like no one's going to take it easy on you. Pierce went back at him, and then Draymond came over the top today and said, people tend to forget that he was struggling to get to the playoffs. He was on the trade block every year, then all of a sudden Ray Allen and KG showed up. Let's not forget that.
Mm. People do forget that the Celtics were bad for a long time, and then they won when they got two good players.
No, nah, I mean, they were in the playoffs, though. They were always in the hunt.
Pierce. Draymond Green is really making a case. He wants everyone in the world to hate him.
Yeah.
He's well on his way there.
Yeah.
I think even people in San Francisco
and then Kevin Durant's gonna and then Kevin Durant's gonna get in front of the press and be like, "You guys are all so mean to Draymond."
I would love to see Draymond Green on the teams that Pierce had and lead them to the playoffs.
Now that's how you debate, Hank. Our boy is learning right in front of our eyes. Put him in there.
If you substitute Draymond for Paul Pierce, who would you take? Redraft, but they're coming out of college at the exact same time. Oh, and it's the year 1970.
Redraft.
Oh,
baby.
So there's no 3-point line.
Nope. Nope.
Who do you
Pierce,
take?
Elbow jumpers all day,
yeah,
day and
that's
night.
That's true. Good point. Mm. Good point. Although Draymond would be a center.
I'd say, yeah, he'd be huge back then. You couldn't guard him. He would, so some of those hard fouls would not get flagrant fouls for him back then, back when the NBA was filled with guys.
Interesting.
Draymond Green's never been stabbed. Doesn't have not tough enough.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, he just bitch slapped that guy in Michigan.
Exactly.
Over the summer.
He'll stab you before he gets stabbed.
Yeah.
Killer instinct.
All right. That is our show. We will see you Friday. Before we go, we actually want to say a quick thank you, an earnest thank you to all the award-winning listeners. Without you guys, none of this would have been possible. We would have been just talking to microphones like crazy people to ourselves, which is what we do for the majority of every day. Mm-hmm. We just talk to each other like crazy people. But seriously, honestly, from the bottom of our heart, it's been a year or a quarter year, if you actually know how calendars work. and we thank you. And we also want to give just a quick note, because we love you guys and we consider you guys family, we wanted to say we're sorry for the passing of award-winning listener Jonathan Alpert. I know all his friends and family still listen to this show. We're thinking of you guys, and we appreciate everything you guys have done for us. And with that, we will see you on Friday.
Lean in real close, guys. Lean in real close. Now turn your speed down to half on your iPod. I love you.
Shine away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love.
Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
Take on.
Cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti.
Needless to say, I'm on sentence, but I'll be stole a little way. Learning that life is okay.
Take
on me. Coming for you anyway.
Hey, boy.